in man body alone we can know God, and in no other body. Fortunate we are, we have got the man body. Now the people, some say some teacher is required to meet God, others say no, this is different. Teacher is required in all phases of life. Even when the child is born, you know he needs parents to teach him, even to speak. Brothers and sisters are there to teach the child how to speak, how to walk. In schools, we need some teacher. In all other subjects, we need the guidance of somebody who is an expert or adept in that line. So in the case of God also, we need somebody who has been to God, who has seen God, and can give us some demonstration of the inner eye to open to see God. Now the question remains, some say God cannot be seen. Of course, God absolute, nobody has seen God any time in life. But when God wanted one to be many, the God which came into expression, God into expression power, which is the cause of all creation, which is controlling and is immanent in every form, that can be seen. Master said, ask, have you seen God? They say, yes. But how? When I met my Guru. Guru or Christ or Master, the same meaning. So what sort of teacher is required for that purpose? Where all world philosophies end, there the religion starts. The world religion means reim is back, legio to bind. To bind back our soul to God means religion. Others are only social bodies. Man is a social being. He has to form some society to live in. The labels are which we are carrying on our bodies. So God absolute cannot be seen. Nobody has seen God at any time so far. God who came into expression, that power is the cause of all creation. And that power is called world. God is worldless. That power is called Nama. And He is nameless. That power is called Shabda. And He is Ashabda. So that power resides in every heart. As I told you, that the controlling power of all creation keeps him intact. They do not clash with each other. And similar, that very power is keeping us in the body. Otherwise, this body has so many apertures, two of eyes, two of ears, two of nostrils, mouth or two underneath. We cannot run away out of it. So body works so long as we are in the body, and we are controlled in the body. When that power is withdrawn, we have to leave the body. So we need some teacher who has access into that. This is all Master. All scriptures that say so. Christ also said, you see, who can meet me, he can know the Father. So Guru Nanak was asked, who is your Guru? He said, God into expression power is my Guru. Means Shabd, word. Tenth Guru was asked, who is your Guru? He said, who is the creator of all this universe? He is my Guru. You know, that power resides in every heart. And that is the controlling power within each man's body. But somewhere, where that is manifest, that manifested God in man is the Guru. This Yajna Gita and all the other scriptures say so. If you want to see God, meet someone who sees God within. So we need somebody who is the Word made flesh. Such a one, you see, he is just born the same way as we are, of course. Teacher is a man, and a man is a teacher of a man, but he has developed in a way that he has first known himself by self-analysis, and then he is in contact with God, he is the mouthpiece of God. So Word made flesh are manifested, Word in God, in man is the Guru. So when you meet him, what does he do? How far he can help us? All other relations, friends of the world, they only can help us so long as they are in the body first, and further, so long as their purpose is served. When the time of leaving the body comes, nobody can help you. So we need somebody who can, at the time of death, can leave you. But a demonstration even before how to leave the body. If you work according to his instructions, you know how to leave the body daily. I die daily, St. Paul said. Take cross daily. Cross is like that. Go up. Those who know are given the demonstration as to how to rise above body consciousness. And also he works here, helps you outside in all your affairs. And when you leave the body, he is also competent to help you in the beyond too. Such a one, such a teacher is needed in the way to God. Where the world philosophy then, their religion starts, I told you. For the worldly world philosophies, they relate to the outgoing faculties, our intellect. There we also need somebody, of course. Why not in a way where we lead this body into the beyond? So such a teacher is called Guru, Master, or Christ Baba. So in man body, highest aim is to know God. If you meet such a one, it is a great blessing to have a living master. We need others. Teachers in all other affairs too, but they can help us only so far as anybody. But the one who has approached, his body works in the world, but his soul is the mouthpiece of God. He appears to be engaged in all outer affairs very much, but when he wants, he can rise up a body conscious and traverse into the beyond. So such a teacher is one. He is the Word made flesh, he is the God in man, man in God, in the praise of whom all scriptures speak very highly. So we are fortunate, we have got the man body. We have to leave this body someday, of course, who has come, he has gone. All masters even, you see, all incarnations even, all philosophers. In the past, those who came, they had the body and left the body. We have also to leave the body. What have you done for that? This fate awaits each one of us, no escape from death. So for that, if you meet such a master, what should you do? He will give you some demonstration as to how to rise above body consciousness. By regular practice, day to day, you will feel joy to go into the beyond. death is the last enemy that you have to conquer. How to conquer death? The only way, you must learn how to die. While alive, you rise above what you call the deity. When all glory and beauty lies within you, you will be more enamored of going over there rather than this world. So such a teacher, even this qualification is required. Call him by any name you like. He never says, he speaks to you from the level of man. He never boasts that I am all in all. They simply say, I am sent by God. God has sent me. All Master Kabir says, I am a messenger of God. I brought the message of God to you. God has sent me. Prophet Muhammad said the same thing. God is all God and I am His messenger. Guru Nanak said the same thing. I speak as inspired by God. Tenth Guru of the Sikhs, he has given a reference to his previous birth. That place had been found in India. He says, I was there. I was so much absorbed in meditation and had so much bliss that I would not like that place. God ordered me to come to India, to the world. He said, my mind did not like it. As ordered, I had to come. Then what did he say? He asked God, what shall I do? As Christ said, we know what we have to do. God has ordered us. We know our job. Then what should I do? So God told him, so many men who were sent before, they got themselves worshipped. You go and let the people worship me. This also Christ was the same. So he said, he came to India, to the world. Then he said, who am I? He says, I am the poorest slave sent by God. I am servant of you all. God has sent me only for that purpose. The people hitherto, those who went to, were sent to the world, they began to they led the people to worship Him and not God. So I am your servant of servants. Take me as such, only sent by God. Then he gave a very strong admonition. Whosoever shall tell me I am God, he will go to hell. The purpose, you see, these people do know, they know their job, you see, Master. They are not unaware, they know what they have to do. They are sent with some purpose in view. And what is that purpose? That God is the only God whom we are to worship. God is all love, and God resides in every heart, and our souls are of the same essence as that of God. It is also, love is in it, in our soul. And that God resides in every heart, you see, is the controlling power that we worship God. Then we should also love all of us. This is all Master. They brought the message of love to the world and directed the people, there is God, He and He alone is to be worshipped. Now you find someone, what is the criterion, you say? Lectures can be given, anybody can give you any lectures. You can read out scriptures, can repeat anybody, read out all scriptures to you. What the purpose, what is referred to there, what masters have seen in their flights into the beyond, they have given the statement what they have seen, hard facts. And those who can give us some demonstration of that. First of all, scriptures, right interpretation thereof, who can give? They contain such like statements of the masters who traverse into the beyond, reach the true home of the Father, and what they experience and what they saw, what is it? What is it?
The police are out there, they want to arrest a man, there's a Ford truck in front of the driveway yesterday.
Tell me what you mean.
Yes.
I am just submitted to you. This home and world is full of teachers. Of course, we respect all teachers at whose feet we have sat and learned something. Maybe that knowledge which concerns our own faculties, our mind, our intellect, we have respect for them. But in that case, you will find you are the doership. Doership is not gone. So long you are doer or doing anything, as you sow, so shall you reap. So in this, on the earth, there is law going, as you sow, so shall you reap. You sow good seeds, you reap good fruits. You sow bad seeds, good and both. Bad don't will bring up reactions, as you remain the doer. So masters, what they do? They withdraw our attention from outside, because your attention is the expression of the soul, from all outside and from the body below, and make us rise above the body consciousness and open the inner eye to see the light. Before going to master, we are, excuse me, as the scripture says, we are blind and we are deaf. Blind, word blind is a terminology of the saints, which means who is blind, who has not got eyes on the forehead, no. Who has eyes on the forehead, with all that is blind, because his inner eye is not open to see the guide of light of God. Inner eye or the third eye or the single eye, that is not open. Those are shields. Shields are put on your eyes too, on your ears too. Somebody needs to break your seals and open your inner eye and open inner ear. And who can give some experience to start with, to raise you up from this grave of the man body to the beyond, have a glimpse of you. So if you meet such, he will help you here and hereafter both. He will be able to give you some demonstration to start with, some capital to start with. And you will bear testimony yourself, there is something. So such a man is needed. So fourth guru of the sixth, Guru Ram Das, he says, O God, I pray, you make me slave of those who have become your true servants and remain at their feet till the end of the world, till I am in the body, when I have to leave the body, until then I should be at their feet. So every lover wants, you see, to be with the beloved till the end of the life, is it not? So true beloved is God of our soul. He is the controller of our souls in the man body. He says, I pray, O God, let me be slave of those who have become your true servant. And until when? Until the last breath leaves me. So people ask me, why are you also this? So he says, I ask this because all scriptures say so. I ask only for this thing, for this reason, that it gives us natural way back to God. It gives a demonstration, some capital to start with. So you see, there are so many ways of meeting God, you see. There is Hatha Yoga, there is Prana Yoga, there is intellectual Jnana Yoga, bhakti yoga. And atta yoga makes your body fit. Pran yoga, by pran yoga you can prolong your life. In the bhakti yoga you have to make some hypothesis. And in the jnana yoga you have to make some inferences to understand something. You may have dipped into the bhijan, but not for mistake. So he gives us what kind of yoga? The natural yoga, sut yoga, the attention, the yoga of the attention. The experience of which is given at the time of initiation, little or more to everybody, that depends on each man's background. This is a yoga which can be exercised by small children. Old and sick also. So the other yogas are time-consuming, hard to follow, everybody can follow them. So this is the yoga which they give to the people at large in a simple way. Give them something to start with. And that by raising their soul above the body consciousness. Saint Plutarch tells us, those who are initiated into the mysteries of the beyond, their soul has the same experience of leaving the body as it has at the time of death. This is dying while alive. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. And this Bible gives, O Lord, I am grateful to you. You have kept this secret from the worldly wise and given to the babes. Babes are very innocent. Suffer little children to come into me, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So this is natural yoga which is given to you. Though there are other practices, as I told you, which concern your outgoing faculties or intellect or body. They are good actions, of course, as I told you. But in that case, the doership is not gone. We have to bear the fruit, but as we sow. So this is the one reason, you see. Fourth Guru says, I want to die at his feet. Of course, any lover will want to die at the feet of his beloved, you see. He says, for one more reason. I see, such like master, when they visit the world, those places are being worshipped as a place of pilgrimage. You see, Christ lived at Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the place of pilgrimage of all the Christians. Pope also, first time in life, has gone to Jerusalem, present Pope. Prophet Muhammad lived in Makkah, Medina, and that's the place of pilgrimage of all Muhammadans. Mahatma Buddha, when he got his awakening, enlightenment in India, that's a place that is called Buddh Gaya, the pilgrimage of all the Buddhists. Similarly, Guru Nanak, where he was born, is Vivasya, the place of pilgrimage called Nankanasa. He sat under a tree, you see, which is very sour fruit that became sweet, so that became a place of pilgrimage. Kabir and others, all rishis, where they lived, they are being worshipped as a place of worship. That is why Guru Ram Das says, I want to die at his feet. Die at his feet. Then further he says, if you find such life anywhere, what you should do? Leave all your, what you say, pride, and being you are belong to the high family, leave all and sit at his feet. You see, one Samaritan lady was carrying a pitcher of water over her head. Christ asked for water from him, from her, and she, on account of her inferiority complex, did not give water. He says, had she given this water to me, my thirst would have been satisfied for a while, again the thirst would arise. Had she come to me, I would have given a water of life that would satisfy all thirst forever. So those people, when they come, wherever they said, that is why he says, I pray, O God, let me die at the feet of those who are your true servants. You see? Now this, what should be naturally, there are two things standing away. One, man's position. The other, that I have learned in man. Or I am rich. Such like people, very few of them really sit at the feet of masters and derive men. It is said in the time of one king, Raja, Pipa, and you see, Mirabai, perhaps name you might have heard, she went to his feet, she was inspired, God. So the king of the place came to know that there is one saint here called Ravidas. He was only the, what, Tena, the skin teacher, beard and colored, you see. That job was he was doing to earn his livelihood. But he thought, I am a king, how can I go to the feet of a very hardy man? He could not dare. After all, he could not restrain himself. One evening he ran up to the house of Ravidas, the saint, and told, Master, I have come. He said, oh, you have come, all right. Then he says, after all, he has left all his pride and everything, come to me, let me give you something. He is washing the skin. And the king was very much afraid, even before he dreaded it. If I go, you give that water to drink, then what shall I do? But he could not refuse, so he kept the water and did not drink, but that went into the shirt he was wearing. Then came back, oh God, my life was spoiled. For that reason I never wanted to go to him. He came back to his palace and asked for the washerman there, well, look here, there's some parts of the skin on the cloth, wash it down. And he took it, and there was some color of the skin washing that was there. The daughter sucked it, you see, and that spot was dissolved. With that, there was attention, mind God. You see, attention that works. Attention is the outer expression of the soul, and soul is just drenched in whatever color, you see, that will radiate it to them. So words they speak, they are charged with this life, out of the abundance of heart man's speech. So she began to have money. There was attention. And it came up to the king, you see, the daughter of my washerman is a saint. Let me go and pay pilgrimage. He is not the man who is dealing with the skin, washing of the skin. When he went, people were sitting, and that daughter of the washerman was sitting. When she saw the king coming to him, she stood up and put in her hand. King said, look at that, daughter, I have come to pay you homage, you are a saint, I have not come as a king here. He says, well, I have not stood up to pay you homage as a king, but I am only folding my hands because whatever I have got, that is through your favor. Then she reminded him how she got all this thing, that king which he did not drink that skin, water, whatever it is, water. So that was all that. Then he went to me. Now Master tells us, you see, most people of position, learning, you see, rich, they seldom derive benefit from such man. So he says, what should you do? We should go to the, and hear him what he says. Suppose you are very learned man. Some people come only to test what he knows. You see, if there is a goblet or some glass is put under the bucket which contains water, only that will be filled. If that glass is above that, how can that You go to some, when you hear something there, go to him, just listen him, what he has to say. You keep your, what you know, reserved for you. Just try to understand what he says. He may be telling something new. If it is the same as you, that will be, that will satisfy that you are right.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The talk you just heard was called God in the Man Body, and it was recorded September 23rd, 1972, in Washington, D.C. Our reader this morning is Jack Weinstein. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
Go ahead whenever you're ready.
The first part of my reading is from the book, The Satsandesh, November 1974, on psychic power. Dehradun, February 20th, 1971. The Master was asked, can we affect each other during group meditations? For example, in sending thoughts of love to the others, will they be affected? He replied, do you have enough to spare to be distributed to the others? If you have, then it's all right. Otherwise, you will become bankrupt. You have no money in your bank or in your hand, and you issue checks. If you love God, soul is of the same essence as that of God, and He resides in every heart. Naturally, you will have love for everybody. If you have become very much charged, you need not even direct your attention, as by radiation, the others will receive it. By exerting, you'll feel bankrupt and quite vacant. That is why I always say that I don't advocate so-called spiritual healing. The people who are doing this healing exert. They send love, they send good thoughts, healing thoughts. In that way, they exert and become bankrupt. They feel depleted and then have to recoup. The higher form of healing is always good. Those who even think of a master can be healed. You remember during Christ's life, a lady touched the hem of his garment and was healed? He felt something and said, who has touched me? If you have money in your bank, well and good. If you have $1,000 and you give checks away for $2,000, what will happen? You follow? It is a good idea to have sympathy for all. If you love God, because God resides in them, naturally your love will go to them. Or by radiation, they will benefit from it. You may do one thing, you may pray. Oh God, help others. That's something else. With the little money you have, or the little water in your tank, do you want to distribute it in that way? Do you follow what I am saying? It is a good idea to have good sympathies, loving thoughts, regard for others. That's all right. But don't exert. You may have good thoughts for all. I told you the other day, in my master's time, I used to visit sick people. Those who were not initiated made a show of those people. When he comes, the sick will be relieved, they would say. It did happen, and people complained to my master that I was showing miracles. So master said, no, he does not show miracles. It is the radiation that people get from him. Do you follow me? Such like radiation is all right. To have good thoughts for everybody is a good idea. Pray God to give peace to all. That's another thing. And moreover, still further, Guru Nanak, who is considered to be Word made flesh, prayed, peace be unto all the world over under thy will, O God. He did not exert himself. Peace be unto all the world over under thy will, O God. Once you become the doer, naturally you'll exert, using up what you have. Under thy will, O God, is the best way. So have good wishes for all. We're all brothers and sisters in God. But by radiation, that power helps and doesn't make you bankrupt. By exertion, naturally you can do good to others. But after that, you'll feel exhausted. A higher form of healing is wanted. By radiation, let everybody be helped. If you have enough perfume within you, everybody will get it, without your even wishing to do anything. So I'm not against good wishes for everyone, but don't be the doer, exerting on your own shoulders with the little water you have. Pray for them. That's all right. The disciple then said, sometimes a healer says, when he is exhausted, he gets refilled with new power afterwards. Master replied, only when he becomes bankrupt. First he feels wanting, then he refills, not before. And if he is not refilled, then? The masters always heal by radiation. Those who thought of them were healed. That's the safer way. Once someone wrote to me from France, I hear you are not in good health. I will heal you from here. I told him, you cannot do it. And I explained why. A weaker man will be affected by you, not a stronger man. You cannot influence one who is stronger than you. You follow me? How can you affect the man who is stronger than you? You may influence the weaker. You may heal others who are weaker in will than you. So I wrote and told him that he would not be able to do it. He tried with all his powers but could do nothing. You can say, oh, Master, please help her. Or, oh, God, please help her. That is another thing. It once happened that some people, I need not mention who they were, engaged certain people, giving them all the money they wanted, to sit at midnight in an open place to do harm to me. It can be done, but their efforts did not affect me. Once I was traveling in a train, and a man came up who began reading the other passengers' thoughts. He read the minds of several people. I was also sitting in the same compartment. When it came to my turn, he told me to keep something in my mind, and he would read it. You cannot do it, I told him. This was long, long before I met my master. But he insisted, and the others also insisted that I keep something in my mind so that he could read it. All right, I agreed. Do it. He tried, but eventually had to give up. He admitted, I failed today. So the stronger man can affect others. The weaker man cannot. On the weaker you can have some effect. All the same, this is no spirituality. These supernatural powers come up by concentration. But if you are engaged in them, your higher power is stopped. These supernatural powers are the slaves of concentration and meditation. That is not spirituality. Spirituality is not spiritism, not spiritualism, not hypnotism, and not mesmerism. It is purely a matter of self-analysis, rising above body consciousness to know oneself and to know God. On the way, many powers will come up, but to engage in them is a heinous crime. You'll retard your progress. Moreover, the karmic law is inexorable. You will have to suffer for it someday. People do every sort of thing. There was one man in London who could call up the spirits, and then they would talk. £5 was the cost of the admission ticket. Someone said, all right, let us go and see him. So we went. All the lights were turned off. It was pitch dark. It was about 9 or 10 at night. He began to exert, but nothing happened. Nothing could be done. First he sighed, then again he sighed, and after about a half hour or so, as nothing happened, he said, the atmosphere is not good. I'm sorry. This cannot be done now. He did not charge us a fee. It can happen, surely. What was the trick? Now I will tell you. He could speak like a child, so he used to speak himself, and the people considered it to be a spirit. I have found that there is black marketing outside, but there is more black marketing in so-called religious circles. They act and pose. A magician came to a morning meditation sitting in Chicago during my first tour. He was a first-class magician from Europe, especially invited to America with the purpose to work against me. He said, you were going to give a meditation sitting. Am I permitted to sit? Yes, come on. I gave a sitting. He was sitting at the side, exerting all his power against me. Nothing happened. But in return, he fell down, headlong down, unconscious. They had to revive him in my arms, put him to bed, and solace him. Well, never mind. You will be all right. Don't worry, I told him. Reaction was there. When a wave comes and hits a stone wall, the wave will recede. If there is sand there, then that wave will permeate. So, as a reaction, he fell down unconscious. He was a follower of the other party, especially engaged for that purpose. I treated him. Then he went to the bathroom and fell down again. Again, I treated him, giving him medicine so that he would be all right. Then he said to the whole gathering over there, I have seen for the first time the love of Christ. What I was being told was all wrong. He passed away. His wife sends me letters, even now. Spiritual people don't want to be involved in these things. What is the joy of reading your minds, reading this and that thing, and influencing others? What is there? Some contact with the lower, groveling souls who have left the body? There is little contact with the higher souls. This is only one side of the show. If you engage your attention thus, your further progress is retarded. So I have encountered all this sort of thing in India and abroad. Nothing happened to me. My master was with me, of course. That power, God power, is with me. That is his grace. If he leaves me, I am nothing. I am Mr. Zero. I don't do anything. That is the safest way. It once so happened that Dr. Schmidt, a Swiss homeopathic physician, came to India with his wife. He was initiated by our master. On their second visit to India, people tried to influence his wife to become initiated, but she wouldn't agree. She was a follower of a guru in Europe. Dr. Schmidt requested me to kindly do something so that his wife might also be initiated. My master told me to take leave for 4 or 5 days and give time to attend to her. I asked Dr. Schmidt to be present when I spoke to her. The very first question she asked was, "What brought you here to the master?" So I explained to her for about 10 minutes why I had come. "Oh, that is exactly what I want," she said. She then asked, "Why is it that your master does not appeal to me?" This was a very direct question. "My previous guru used to influence me, and I was affected by him," she went on. I told her to look at me for 2 or 3 minutes and then asked if she could say anything other than what I wanted her to say. "No," she said. I said, "That is why your guru has influenced you. You could not say anything other than what he wanted you to say. My master does not influence anybody. He leaves it to your goodwill, your free will, and pleasure to find what is what." She did not know English. She was French-speaking, so I told her, "All right, if you don't follow the talk given by my master tonight, just simply look at him sweetly, attentively, nothing more, and then let me know what you find." She sat in on the talk, and after it, I asked her, "Well, how did you find my master?" "Oh, he was very attractive, very beautiful." By radiation, these things are effected, not by directing your will. I told her that was why my master did not influence her. He leaves everybody to his own free will and pleasure. "If I hypnotize you people, then you'll go and you will feel bankrupt. You may have something for a few minutes, but then you will be bankrupt." "Then?" I've had many similar instances like this, so that is why I say, there's more black market within. Mrs. Schmidt was initiated, and I get letters from her even now. So it is God who helps, you see. If you have become his, he has to look after you. You have to simply surrender to him. That's all. Surrender does not cost you anything, does it? But it is very difficult. To give money is all right. To to give away your everything is all right. Hearth, home, everything. To give away your mind leaves nothing short. You have been put on the way to the best that I know, or what the scriptures say. You're fortunate. Go on with it. So the master power takes care. You have everything. Just turn within. My elder son fell sick. The doctor told me to take 3 days leave as he would definitely die. All right, I took leave. Within these 3 days, I was ordered by my master to give a talk at Amritsar. And I thought, the doctor said he would die, but life and death are not in my hands. So I went to Amritsar and gave a talk. It was about midday on a summer day. Then I thought that as Bayaz, where my master lived, was quite close, should I not go for a visit? So I went. I reached there about 2 o'clock. Master was upstairs. He sent for me. Come up. What about your child? I had never mentioned anything. Oh, he was sick. The doctor said he was dangerously sick. Master was lying down. He sat up. I asked, Master, whoever thinks of you has no burden. Why are you so sad? You've just thrown your burden on me, so I took it. My son never died. He'll take care of you. You need not pray. He knows. So Master Power is always at work. This is wonderful. Master is not the physical body, but the God in him. When he sees it is God who is doing, then how can he claim anything? So go on with your meditation regularly, leaving everything to him. Only live by what he says, that's all. There may be 4 or 5 children of a father. If one child simply leaves everything to the father, not asking him for anything, not demanding anything of him, simply leaving everything to his will, what does the father do? He gives all the keys to him. And now I will continue from the teachings of Kirpal Singh, Volume 3, The New Life, page 52. Question. Can an ascended master help his initiates who are still on the physical plane? Answer. Yes. A competent master is a master to his initiates for all time and does not rest till he takes the souls to the highest pinnacle of blissful glory in Satchkhand. He is not a physical being only, but word personified, and on the higher planes acts as a Gurudev and Satguru, which terms would become meaningless if his activities were to be confined to the physical plane. If it were so, how could he take charge of the souls of the initiates on death after his passing away? A master, in essence, never dies for the initiates. It is his truth to take them up. It is his troth to take them up to the true home of his father. And inwardly, his light and sound forms are permanently implanted, though he may have left the earth plane. To continue on page 54, Miracles and Yogic Powers. The science of the living masters is the most ancient and the most perfect science the world has ever seen. It is the most natural and the easiest to follow and can be followed by men of all ages. Married life, avocation, caste and creed, social and religious beliefs, poverty or illiteracy, etc., are no bars. It is an inner science of the soul and consists in contacting the soul with the oversoul, with the help and guidance of the spiritual adept, well-versed in the theory and the practice of paravidya, or the science of the beyond, and capable of granting some first-hand spiritual experience at the very first sitting. Nothing is to be taken on trust or make-believe. Miracles, spiritual healings, psychic phenomena, fortune-telling, Akashic records, and worldly desires are all to be left aside, for these are positive hindrances on the path. The entire energy is to be conserved for internal progress. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things shall be added unto you. This is the highest truth that has been taught from hoary antiquity by sages and seers since the day of creation. It is unalterable and shall remain so. God, Godway, and God-man can never suffer any change and shall ever remain eternal. Master saints never show any miracles to a disciple except in rare cases due to special circumstances. Miracles are in accordance with the laws of nature, but are nevertheless terribly entangling webs detrimental to the highest ideals of man in his approach to Almighty God. It is a subject that an ordinary man would not care to study, for the simple reason that it requires immense self-control and training of the mind, with restrictions that he would not like to tolerate or pursue. The miraculous powers achieved after a lengthy period of time are instrumental in doing both good and harm. And as they are utilized more for harm than anything else, they are termed as a disease by all truly spiritual persons. The masters are in possession of supreme power, but their mission is sacred. A disciple whose inner vision has been opened sees any number of miracles at each step. To hesitate to believe in a master without seeing miracles is as foolish as our refusal to believe that a certain person is a multimillionaire unless he shows us his money. He may have all his money deposited in a bank and wishes to spend it in the way that he chooses without caring for public applause or approval. Out of an audience of several thousands watching a magician perform his tricks, only a very small number would thereby be induced to learn the arts. Those who are anxious to see miracles are not true seekers. Saints do not display miracles, nor do they allow any of their disciples to indulge in such vainglorious and empty baubles. Making prophecies and performing miracles are simply collections of mind, yogic powers. The duty of a superintendent in a jail is to keep the prisoners in prison, to chasten and to reform them. Similarly, the aim of the deities and divine incarnates, avatars, has always been to keep men tied to themselves by showering the gifts of various siddhis and riddhis on them. This refers to the granting of gifts, boons, favors, wealth, ease, and comfort in worldly vocations and giving superhuman powers for doing good or ill. These limited salvations and comforts they grant to their devotees are only up to the stage which they themselves have attained, and they may even permit nearness of sojourn in the various regions wherein they preside. They cannot help in the bringing about of union with the Almighty, because these subordinate powers are themselves deprived of this highest privilege. The siddhis, or extraordinary powers referred to above, are yogic powers which of themselves come to aspirants after truth with a little sadhana practice. But these are positive hindrances in the way to God realization, for one is generally tempted to indulge in miracles like thought reading, foretelling, transvision, transpenetrations, wish fulfilling, spiritual healing, hypnotic trances, magnetic influences, and the like. These siddhis are of eight kinds. Anima, to become invisible to all external eyes. Mahima, to extend body to any size. Garima, to make body as heavy as one wishes. Lagima, to make body as light as one may like. Prapti, to get anything one likes by mere wishing. Ishtwa, to attain all glories for the self. Prakaima, to be able to fulfill the wishes of others. Vashitwa, to bring others under influence and control. Spiritual healing. Spiritual healing is prohibited by the masters. It has reasons and deeper significance behind it, which ordinarily people ignore, considering the face value of the profits accrued and attributing it as service to the suffering humanity. The inexorable law of karma is supreme and demands adjustments of each farthing. The human body is the highest rung in creation granted by Providence for the spiritual perfection of the soul during this incarnation. The soul in man, being of the essence of God himself, has the same attributes as those of God, but having been environed by mind and matter, has lost its true heritage. Soul in its present state is gravely enmeshed by body and bodily attachments, which are more or less the reaction of past karma, which it has been contracting all through up to the present incarnation. The present earth life is a passing phase in the long journey of the soul from the lower categories of creation on to the true home of the Father. Physical body is material, but the soul is spiritual. But when reaction of karma occurs, the man is bound to suffer pain and pleasure. Now the sufferings demanding spiritual healing fall mainly in the domain of physical troubles, which may include even mental agonies such as nervous breakdown, etc. These being the reactions of past karma must demand adjustment and as such are to be borne by the victim. The healer, whosoever he may be, conducting this service takes the karma on his head to be borne by him at a later stage. Besides, the bit of spiritual attainment he has attained in silencing his mind is dissipated in such gestures of a miracle healing. Moreover, this process of healing is administered on weaker minds which usually fall a prey to their sentiments. What can ordinarily be cured by undergoing a bit of suffering and medicine is exchanged for spiritual dissipation, and the debt remains standing, awaiting adjustment at a later stage. Again, this sort of healing becomes professional and at times encourages corruption and misery. It not only invites malpractices, but brings in more of mental agony and wretchedness in multiplied form added with interest. This is a causal postponement of payment for a future date and adds strong fetters over the soul. Contrarily, the masters advocate right living and right thinking. A disciplined devotee of the master is advised to lead a pure, clean, chaste life, thereby pursuing a spiritual goal under the protective guidance. The implicit obedience for the dietary regulations and leading a simple, truthful life leads to happiness and joy. If, however, some suffering due to the evolutions of past karma comes, its severity and duration is much toned down by the intervention of gracious master power, like a penny for a pound or a needle prick for the gallows. And the disciplined child disciple comes out unscathed with the grace of the master. The healing, which is said to have been administered by Jesus or others, was of a higher quality, as when you merge in the cosmic awareness and lose your identity, you become so spiritual that even thinking of a person or those touching the hem of your garment will get healed, as termed colloquially in the Bible. You have not to exert on your part to heal others. Yet above all, it is the faith which cures. And the sincere initiates do not indulge in these things, and rather aspire incessantly for the attainment of their spiritual perfection, which is the highest goal of earth life. The soul, which has to go far higher to merge into the oversoul, is retarded by engaging herself to lower pursuits. The initiates are therefore warned not to administer this spiritual healing in their own larger interests, which would result in spiritual dissipation and bankruptcy. It will add strong fetters over the soul, and karmic debt will be very heavy to be repaid. Other yogic powers. Question. Can I teach yoga? Teaching yoga is all right. You may earn your money in any way you like, but don't be your own subject of yoga. If you do, then you will go the longer way. Our way can be done very quickly. That way would take at least hundreds of years to come inside. You would have to take the longer way. If you want to take the longer way, all right, do it. You may want to teach it, that's all right. But don't do it your own self, that's all. If you want to go the longer way, very good. You may choose it if you like. That is the longer way. It was introduced in the past ages. In the Golden Age, man lived for 1 lakh of years, 100,000 years. People could put in 70,000 years, 80,000 years in that practice. Then came the Silver Age. In the Silver Age, the age came down 1/10 to 10,000 years. People could put in 2,000 or 3,000 years in that way. Then came the Copper Age. Life was cut down to 1/3. Even then, you could put in 200 or 300 years. Nowadays, man does not live 70 years. How can you follow those methods that were introduced in those years? We cannot live up to that age. So Kabir and Guru Nanak introduced this simple way that we do. Even a child can do it. It is the quicker way, you see. Have you read Crown of Life? I wrote this book about the comparative study of all yoga. There is one part that explains what you do, what you are teaching. There are other forms of yoga in it too. But our method is the quickest way through all the ages for any man of any age. Now is it clear to you? And that concludes this morning's reading. We thank you, beloved Master Kripal, for teaching us so wonderfully. And we thank you, beloved Father God, for speaking through Master Kripal so wonderfully. Amen.
Thank you, Jack, for reading for us. Would you tell us again what you were reading for those who might have called in later?
The first reading was from Satsang Dash, November 1974. The title of it was On Psychic Power.
Okay.
And the second reading started on page 52 in the Teachings of Kripal Singh, Volume 3, The New Life.
Thank you. We had 81 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones.